So good evening, and this is our Wednesday evening service on a Thursday evening. And tonight I'm going to share some thoughts about brokenness, humility, and contrition. And these are words which go against the natural man. We know that by nature we like strength, we like confidence, this is what we are impressed by, and this is what we are striving for. We think independence is the thing to achieve. When I don't need any, and this is what we teach our children actually. We want to bring them up so that they wouldn't need us anymore, that they would be able to make it on their own. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, being able to take care of ourselves. But what we need to understand, and we do here in the church, is that God is the one who created us. He created the whole world, and He created everything with a purpose. And He did not create man to be independent of Him. And this is something that is very hard for us to understand, because the natural man cannot understand the things of God in 1 Corinthians 2. There would be too many portions to read if I would want to read it, but this is what Paul says, that for the natural man, God's thoughts are foolishness. He cannot understand. And this is one thought by God, that He did not intend for us to be alone. He did not intend for man to have to make it alone in this world. So this is my starting point. The natural man can't find God on his own, and the natural man lives, tries to live from his own or her own resources. And this can be also defined as sin, because I miss the whole purpose of me being here. The purpose of God's creation was that things would be connected to Him, the giver of life. He's not only the giver of life in the sense that without Him there would be no life, but He is the giver of life in the sense also that He sustains life, and that He wants to give His life that we could live that life on the earth, and we would be successful and fulfilled in this life. This is nothing strange, right? This is just biblical theology. We all agree on this. I said that I would like to speak about brokenness and humility, because we see that the natural man is very strong, and sin follows us. We are born in sin, we do sin on this earth. And if we imagine our lives like a tree, this was what Pastor Scheller used on Tuesday, the fruit is those sins that we commit, and the tree trunk is our sin, that we are sinful beings, and we cannot change that. We cannot bring other fruit than sins, because we are sinful. But God doesn't care so much about these things, but He wants to get at the root, because the problem is there, and the root is iniquity. The root, there's a word in the book of Proverbs, which is foolishness in the Bible. A foolish man says in his heart, there is no God. This is one definition to understand what the Bible means when He speaks about foolishness. But this iniquity in the heart, the root problem, is the original sin that was found in the devil, also Lucifer. And this goes deeper than an inability to do the will of God. It goes deeper than sinning occasionally. It is a deep unbelief that although it knows about God, it's never going to acknowledge Him for who He is. it is a what's the word I'm looking for? A conviction in the heart that God is not supposed to be on the throne, but somebody else instead, maybe me, for example. And this is what we see in this world. Man has become like God, making decisions every day, every minute, every day, defining what's good and right and what's wrong. So I said that we are going to speak about humility, because about this foolishness, the book of Proverbs says that you can take a fool and break him to powder, and still his foolishness is not going to leave him. And that's quite strong. We need another solution. I believe, and this is what my theme is today, is that God draws us to himself. He needs to connect us with himself. We were created for a purpose, and we are disconnected. When we are disconnected from him, we don't know how to live life. And the result is unhappiness, and everything wicked that we see in the world. It is all because we are not connected to him. He wants to connect us to himself. So he draws us, and he draws us with his love. We know that. He draws us with his forgiveness that was shown on the cross, with patience. He also uses reason. He reasons with man, and I think that's very interesting. He gives us reasons why we should believe him, why we should come out from our foolishness, leave our foolish thoughts, and come to different thoughts about him. He also uses bad conscience. That's also interesting, isn't it? Maybe I have lived my whole life without God, but I feel bad, I have a bad conscience. And that is also a way how God wants to draw me to himself. But also, he wants to break us. And this is a subject that we don't speak so much about, maybe. There are things that happen in our lives, which might be used by God to draw us to himself. We don't live in a time anymore when we believe in a corporal pun is it called corporal punishment? When I was a child, I had the opportunity to be spanked. And suffering and pain is not necessarily a bad thing. Isn't that interesting? When we think about pain and suffering, we think it's bad because it generates bad feelings. But not everything that feels bad is necessarily wrong. I could speak about it longer, but I don't want to. I just want to show that God wants to break us sometimes. But pain is just a signal that something is wrong. That's why God, in his wisdom, made it so that we can feel pain. When the pain comes, when suffering comes, then I understand that something is wrong. And this is what we should think. And this is what many times we do think when we look at the state of the world, for example, and we see all the suffering. It's a sign that something is wrong. God wants to break, as I said. When I was thinking about breaking, what is the idea behind it? Is that we are not animals, of course, but you can break in a horse, right? There's a wild animal that does not obey anybody, and through through pain and discipline, the horse is broken in and made useful for its master. And we are not animals, of course. You know, we would like to think that we are a little bit more sophisticated, at least. But the principle is there. Or we could think about brokenness as you have a field. And if the field is not broken up, then you can't really grow anything in the field. But the soil has to be broken up so that what's inside comes up to the surface, and that it would get soft, and then you can plant something. So I was thinking about these two examples to show you that breaking something is not necessarily a bad thing. God needs to break us sometimes, and first I would like to say, I mentioned already bad conscience, that it can also be used. Conscience is a part of the soul, and everybody has a conscience. It is something that you are born with, and conscience can be trained, and it is trained. It's changed a little bit, it's formed by how we are brought up. But there are some things which are there in the conscience, and I cannot really manipulate how I feel. And contrition is a word that we find in the Bible. It means remorse, penitence or repentance of my own sin. And this is, I found three verses, there's surely many more, but Psalm 51, 17, Isaiah 57, 15, and Isaiah 66, 2. When a contrite spirit is something positive before God. And I was thinking about this, how can the Bible say that God is close to the person who has a contrite spirit? And I think this is one of those things that God uses to break somebody, to bring us closer to himself, like I said. I live in my natural me, who I am without God, those things, those resources that I have in Adam. And we know that Adam doesn't have what it takes. Adam cannot live up to, not only to God's standard, but he cannot even live up to his own standards. I will disappoint myself in life, I will disappoint other people, and I will get into trouble with society. And when I realize that I have done something wrong, I can have not just a bad conscience, but I can be broken by it. And that can drive me to God when I pray about my shortcomings. And that's a very good thing. So these three verses, you can look them up at home. They speak about a contrite spirit that is pleasing to God. Why? Because it brings me to a point where I am on my knees, figuratively speaking, where I understand my own limitations, my own inefficiency in myself, and I understand that I need somebody else. This can be a door for God to come in into my life. Then we mention the word humility. Yeah. Let me see if I have the right. What I would like to read is from the book of Job. Job chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. So Job 5, verse 17 and 18. Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he binds up. He shatters, but his hand heals. And I think you understand the principle. God might wound us. God might shatter us. And he uses different things. It might be my own weakness, my own bad conscience, my own sin that breaks me. Or it can be an event that happens to me. Maybe I get in trouble with the law and I end up in prison. And that will break me. Or it can be something else. It might be a natural evil or suffering, like a sickness. And it can bring the same result. And ultimately, we have to say that all these things come from God's hand. And at the same time, we need to be very careful not to be pretentious and say this is the work of God or this is the work of the devil when we don't know exactly what's happening. But God may choose to use some things to break us and to humble us. So he says, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he binds up, he shatters, but his hands heal. And this is why we should not be afraid of being wounded or being shattered, because God is there, he is close. This is in the book of Isaiah 55 and 66, or 57, 66. God is close to the one who is broken. God is close to the one who is of a contrite spirit. And that's quite an interesting idea about God. He is high and mighty. He is more powerful than anybody. He is greater than anybody. And at the same time, he is with the small one who is in the dirt, who has fallen on his face. And he is right there. And he leans down to pick this person up. This is our God. So, brokenness, contrition, humility. There's this idea about these things. They sound like very bad, negative words. I don't want to be humbled, for example, or humiliated, even worse. I don't want to be humiliated, but it will happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. And some things might even come from God to put me in a position where I am humbled and I am on my knees and I speak to him and invite him in prayer. So let's turn to Luke 4. This is Jesus speaking and proclaiming his mission, why he came to this earth. And I have to read it from the King James Version because some other translations are missing some portions. Exactly the one that I would like to read. So what did I say? Luke 4, verse 18. So Jesus starts his ministry in Galilee, goes into the synagogue. He's asked to read from the scripture. Then he reads this one. And then he says, it is happening. This word is fulfilled right here, right now. And you are looking at this word. He says here, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because of this he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives, and new sight to the blind, to set at liberty those having been crushed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What year of the Lord? Grace, a year of grace. And that is not only about a year, but it's a season. A new season is starting. Before this, God had a covenant with Israel that he would deal with them according to their works, how they kept the law or did not keep the law. Now it's a different time. It's a different season. It is a time when God proclaims another program. And this is this program. I am anointed, says Jesus. Anointed for what? Who were anointed? Kings were anointed to rule well. Priests were anointed. And prophets were anointed. Jesus was anointed to do his ministry. And the anointing is for him to be able to execute these things. To proclaim the gospel to the poor, and to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives and new sight to the blind, and liberty to those having been crushed. Does it sound familiar? We would like to be strong. We would like to make it in life. And even as saved people, having been Christians for years or maybe some for decades, it is painful to see I am not the one who I thought I was. I let myself down. I let other people down. I feel like I let God down. But of course he knows everything from the beginning. This is his program. This is what he proclaimed. And you can think also of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7. You see these things. Blessed are those who are poor, right? Those who mourn, those who are weak, those who don't seem to have, because, and this is how we are going to finish, because when I don't have, when I lack, then I can come to the one who always does. And this is the purpose why God wants to break us. We started out by saying that sin is that man lives life without God. We disregard the purpose and the makeup that we have. We were not supposed to live on our own, but we are made so that God will be our life source every day. So he wants to become that for us. And this is where Jesus said, I have come to proclaim this to these people. Don't be sad for your weakness. Don't mourn because you don't have strength. I'm just, you know, this is not what he said word by word, but this is the thought behind it. Because what you couldn't do, I can do, and I will be your sufficiency. I will be your life. And now we know from this side of the New Testament that we are born from above. We take on his nature on us, and the Word and the Spirit ministers to us through grace. And then we have this power, we have this strength, we have this ability that we didn't have in Adam. And we need to learn, the only thing we need to learn is the difference between Adam and Christ. Denounce the one and say yes to the other. So lastly, let's go to the portion that we all know in James 4. And we finish there. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your heart, hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones. God is the God of all grace. He wants to give us grace. Grace is much more than just forgiveness for what we have done wrong and giving a new chance. Grace is everything. He is interested in us. And he wants to dwell in us. He wants to act through us. He wants to speak through us in this world. He wants to give grace. And he gives grace abundantly. We can read about it in Romans 5. how his grace is so much more than what we have received in Adam. So therefore, since he wants to give grace, he needs to resist the proud, because the proud does not want to receive anything, right? The whole thing about pride is that I think that I am sufficient in my own, I'm the best. So in order for me to be able to receive grace, I need to be humble. That's why he gives grace to the humble. So he says, submit yourselves to God. I said that maybe a horse needs to be broken in, shoes need to be broken in, things that can be useful might need to have some breaking in the beginning. God made us for his purpose. We are not our own. This is something that goes right in the face of the world out there. My life is not my own. So submit to God. And when we do that, we find that we have strength. So he says in verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And there this giving of grace takes place. I come to him. It doesn't matter why I am broken. It might be my own sin, my own failure that breaks me. It might be some natural cause like a disease or some catastrophe or war. Or it might be an event that God does in my life, and I understand that he directly causes something to break me, to take away my foolishness and my pride, and then I draw to him, and I receive grace. God does not break us because he wants to cause pain. He wants to cause pain so that we would understand that there's more. If I am able to give up myself, he can give himself to me. And there, and only then, things will fall into place like it was supposed to be from the beginning. So, let's pray and finish. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to this earth and showed us who the Father was. Thank you that you were strong in him. Thank you that you were humble and meek. You never had anything that you would have done without the Father. Thank you that you brought the gospel to us so that we could also give up ourselves. Lord, we know that it's not enough just to do it once, but that you have a desire for us to recognize you every day, to submit to you in our lives. God, we don't ask that you break us. We believe that it's coming our way when it's in your plan, but we ask that you bless us. We ask that you stay close to us every day. God, deal with our insecurities, deal with our fears. Thank you that you're a good God, a Father who's worthy being trusted and worshipped. Thank you, Lord. Bless these thoughts. Give us good night's rest. Bless our jobs, our families, everything that we do, everything we think about, everybody we talk to. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.